Yeah. Last night I sort of gave a very practical testimony of what I'd experienced in the heavenly realm, so I'm not really going to go into any more of the actual practical stuff other than trying to actually encourage people how to actually do it and how to learn how to do it. But if you get the tape of it, you'll sort of see the background to a lot of the stuff I'm going to share now. When we talk about mystical or ecstatic experiences, some of them are going on out there, which is great. They are mystical and they are ecstatic, but actually that attracts some people and it puts off others. Just using the words, can put people off when mystical and ecstatic experiences are just normal. That what it should be like, rather than something special. And I want to, in a sense, demystify the whole thing of angelic encounters and heavenly encounters and bring it back to the fact that we can just learn how to do it. They can be learned experience. You know, it's not, because we can't wait for a worship time or a time when the presence or the glory of God is corporately there if that's the only time we're going to encounter God. We have to be able to encounter God every minute of every day in the realm of heaven. As Justin was saying earlier, we have to learn to operate in dual realms. We operate in this realm, but we're connected to that realm all the time. That's how Jesus did it. He did his stuff in that way. We have to do the same thing. So we have to position ourselves. And so the first two sessions are going to be about how we position ourselves for encounters. But then we also have to prepare ourselves. And you know, and this is preparing ourselves not for the meeting type settings, but for everyday life. How we live out as ambassadors of the kingdom on earth. And then you have to practice. Anytime you practice, you get better. So the more time you practice engaging God, the better it gets and the easier it gets. So if you don't put any practice in, actually it won't work. You know, it isn't an encounter where God will just do it. Sometimes God just does it. You know, you're in a worship time and you have a vision. You know, but most people tend to have those things in corporate times when the glory is there, not in their own times with God. I want to teach you how to do things in your own personal time with God where you can do this deliberately and practice it. Okay. You need to desire it above other things. If you do not desire it above the TV or other things that you give your time to, then you're not going to develop it. It takes desire, but desire takes discipline. You know, it takes discipline. You have to discipline the flesh to say no to certain things, to say yes to the things of God. You know, and yeah, that is a challenge. And the flesh doesn't like it, and we have to discipline the flesh. But then it turns into a delight. Once you've gone through the disciplining stage of learning and practicing, it becomes a delight. It's like a lot of the things I'll be teaching you in terms of exercises of how to do it are like the scaffolding in building a house. You lay a foundation and you have to build the house higher, but you need scaffolding to get higher. Once the house has been built, you take the scaffolding down. Because you occupy the house and you live in the relationship and you live in heavenly encounters, but you have to build that up to start with. So for me, when I first started engaging with God in this way and I started practicing these things, it took ages. You know, I would take 3/4 of an hour just to do something basic because I kept getting revelation as I was doing it and you know, as it was going. Now it takes me 5 minutes or less to do the same things that took me an hour. So you, as you learn, you live in the testimony of your experiences. We have to pursue this through meditation. If you don't know how to meditate, it's very difficult to encounter heaven. Now, I'm not just talking about the technical things of meditation, and I will sort of teach some of that. But we can start using the Word of God as a doorway. It's a good place to start. You know, because we know that the Word of God is the absolute truth of God. So you can't go wrong in the Word of God. Well, I suppose a lot of people have gone wrong in the Word of God, but if you use the word as a doorway, and then the encounters that you have, you bring back to the word and anchor them in the word, it stops you going off with the fairies. Okay? Because, you know, there is a danger that you can go off into tangents of things, but if you anchor it in the Word of God, then the Word of God keeps you, because the Word of God is there to reveal God. Who God is, His nature, His character, and all the encounters that you'll get in the heavenly realm, which are not in the Word of God, and there are lots of them that aren't in there specifically, but they're in there in the nature and character of God. And that gives you the plumb line, which will keep you safe. Because a lot of people are afraid, well, what if I see something, or what if I say something? Actually, what Justin said earlier, we have to have permission to fail, and to have a go, and God will correct it. You know, we do see in part, and lots of things, when I first had the encounters, I had no idea where they were, in relation to the heavenly realms. They were just encounters. I didn't know that there were mountains. You know, I didn't know that God lived in the mountain of God. You know, I didn't have a clue. I just went and saw this mountain. You know, I didn't know the different realms of heaven at that point in time, so they were just encounters. But as I meditated on them, they became a source of revelation that then brought me back into the Word, and I found in the Word the things that revealed the truth of what I was seeing, if you see that. We need to activate and get God to activate our imagination, the eyes of our heart. Our imagination is God-given.
Come on.
So that we can see the things that are projected from the inside out. We're so used to seeing the things that come from the outside in, God projects from the inside out and it flows from the inside outwards. So we have to activate that. But you can. It's not difficult. Everyone has got an imagination. Anyone says they can't imagine anything is actually not being truthful. Because you can. You use it all the time. We have to see from the inside out. God does project those things. But it's not just things that you see. You can have feelings and thoughts and impressions which are just as valid and just as real. Okay? Sometimes it's like, well, you're having heavenly encounters and you have these great visions and you're translated into the heavens and you walk there. That's awesome. But you can learn to feel the heart of God, and you can learn to get the impressions of what God is saying and doing. The key at the end of the day is you're obedient to do what God shows you to do. Whether it comes in a vision or impression of a feeling is not as important as actually being obedient and doing the things God sees you. You may get a first person encounter where you're there and you're walking around. You may get a third person encounter where you see yourself or you see other things. In all those things, we learn to see and to hear, to taste and to touch. And it flows from the inside. To do that, you have to develop your spiritual senses that tune into that flow of revelation. Because revelation flows like a river. And you have to get into it to go where the flow goes. We have to develop the senses to do it. Just like you develop natural senses, we have to develop spiritual senses. If you struggle with your imagination, you know, I've never really struggled with my imagination. I could just see things. But many people do, and Ian Clayton talks a lot about this in his teaching, use something in the physical realm to get a picture. So if you struggle with trees or doors or gates, go and find some, look at them, walk in and out of them, and experience them. Then you have a testimony in the natural realm, which opens the door into the spiritual realm. You know, it's not cheating. You just, whoever, where you are, find something that works for you. That's the key. Don't copy anybody else. Find something that works for you. And if you can see things in your imagination, awesome. If you can't, start with natural things and use those things as doorways. Hebrews 5:14 says, "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." See, practice trains the senses. And we're talking about spiritual senses. And it's like, if we want to be mature, we need to train our senses to pick up the flow of revelation that comes from God. Ephesians 1:3, again, Justin talked about this earlier. Yeah. Praise be to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us. Blessed us means He's empowered us to succeed and prosper to the highest level of heaven. Wow. That's what blessed means. Wow. In the heavenly realms. So, with every spiritual blessing. So all the spiritual blessings that are there to enable us to succeed to the highest level, to fulfill our destiny in God, are available in the spiritual realm. If you can't access the spirit of your realm, you cannot go access the blessings. So it's really important to see that this is made available to us, and God intends us to operate that way, because He's already raised us up and already seated us in those heavenly places. So it should be natural for us to engage in that. It was natural for Jesus because the Father was in Him, connecting Him to those realms all the time. Every encounter that we have, sometimes God just wants to have fun with us, and that's great, you know. But even fun times should bring revelation of something that God wants us to realize and bring transformation. Encounters in themselves, unless they bring the fruit of transformation, really are not where it's at. Yeah, God wants us to be transformed by the encounters that we have, so that we're transformed into the image of Jesus. You know, none of us are doing the things that Jesus did yet fully, because we're not transformed into that image. So God wants to take us through that. So you may see pictures, visions, hear sounds, words, know thoughts, feel things instinctively, perceive by impressions. They're all equally valid. I really want to impress that. Don't feel that you are lesser than anyone else because you might not be able to see things like other people do. If you hear things, and if you feel things, and if you instinctively know things, that is a flow of revelation. And that will enable you to do the things that Jesus is calling you to do. Because it said, Jesus said, only do the things I see the Father doing. Now we use the word see in a very English fashion, it means we see. It actually can mean we perceive, we understand, we know. So it's much bigger than just seeing, although seeing's great. You know, I love seeing things. But the key is, I want to be obedient. Yeah. So I need to know the heart and mind and will of God. Yay. We can all learn to tune into that flow. But the question is, will we give the time and the desire to learn? We need to reclaim the ground of the supernatural. Many biblical experiences have been hijacked and put off limits by the New Age. And it's like, they've said, you can't touch this because we're doing it. The reality is meditation, visions, trances, translation, trans-relocation, all those words, they're all in the Bible. People did them. Jesus did them. The apostles did them. They did them in the Old Testament and the New Testament. They're actually our stuff that has been robbed from us. We need to get it back. You know, we need to take back the ground that has been taken. Nowadays, quantum mechanics, and I'm not going to go into it in physics now, which is what God taught me the first time I went into the heavenly realms, they are the parables that Jesus is using today. He used fishing and farming and things in the New Testament because that's what they were aware of. He said to Nicodemus, I've given you things in spiritual things in a natural way and you don't understand it. How would you understand things in the spiritual realm which have got no natural parallel? Well, there are natural parallels for lots of those things today because these parables of quantum understanding are now available to us. There's more knowledge as increased that enables us to engage these things in a different way. The people in the New Age thing are hijacking this stuff. It's really important that we do not allow them to take this sort of New Age physics and make it pantheistic. Because that is the difference. Many of the things are still facts. But the truth is, God is God, and a personal God, and we can relate to Him personally. He is not pantheistic, which means He is not everything, and everything isn't Him. He is transcendent, and He is immanent, The New Age thinkers basically say everything is God, including us, and therefore God is everything. And it's a very fine line from what is being said to that conclusion. And we've got to be careful that we don't take on that conclusion. Actually, God is a personal God. He's real, and we can engage with him in a personal relationship. So it's important that we get this ground back. Now, this picture, you know, I showed last night, this is my adaptation and coloured version of Ian Clayton's picture, which God gave him, directly to encourage people how to engage the realms of heaven. So I want to go through this today in various ways. The key is it flows from the inside out. This is the key of the Spirit. The inside is connected to heaven, and heaven flows through us to the world around us. But we have to open the gates for it to flow, so we need to understand. As I said, we need to train those senses, and you can start in faith. If you can't see anything, get the scriptures in the Word of God, and by faith, start doing them. It's okay, God always responds to faith. You know, and I know a lot of you, you wouldn't be here unless you were pursuing this stuff, I guess. But for some of you, you might think, oh, I just can't do it, and I've been trying for so long. And I know there are people here who probably feel that. Start in faith. Get a picture of heaven from Revelation 4 or 5 and meditate on it in faith. You can start there. Develop the use of the gift of tongues. Absolutely key to building your spirit and flowing in revelation. You know, I mean, I've probably had, I don't know, half a dozen different tongue languages now that come out in different times. There's battle tongues, and there's love tongues, and there's singing tongues. There's all sorts of languages that God gives when you start to engage. What I've learned to do is to be praying in tongues all the time. Because I've actually taught my spirit to be praying in tongues while my mind and my voice. So right now I'm praying in tongues on the inside. You can pray in tongues in your mind, because you can picture the words or the words forming your mind. Or you can pray in tongues from your innermost being, from your spirit. And that is something different. And I probably haven't got time to teach you how to do it, but I'd encourage you to pursue looking to build up your language and gift of tongues. It's not just something you do for a couple of minutes of the day. We should be praying without ceasing. To pray without ceasing means our spirit is praying the language of the Spirit all the time. You can pray in tongues in English if your spirit is releasing the words for you to pray. It's flowing from the Spirit, and it's really important. Activate your imagination, like Paul before. Now, the most important thing is realizing that you're a habitation of God's presence. Jacob saw me, came to see me once, which sounds really strange, doesn't it? But I was in the heavenly realm, and this bright light appeared, and out from this light, this guy showed up. And it's like, I said, who are you? And he said, I'm Jacob. I was like, all right, okay. But he actually told me to look at this encounter, because this encounter that he had is a pattern for all our encounters. So, Genesis 28:12, Jacob went to a certain place. And it's really important that you understand that, because a certain place was a specific place of in previous encounter. Because when he went to what was called Luz, which became Bethel, that was the first altar that was built in the Promised Land. So it was already a place of encounter, and Jacob went back to it to get further encounters. It wasn't a haphazard, oh, where am I? I'll put my head down on a rock to sleep. He went there deliberately. When we need to encounter God, we need to go there deliberately. And he had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. So did the ladder come down or go up? It went up. So this was an access for Jacob to go up. Angels don't need ladders. Any of you know that? We do need a way to access it. So it reached the top of heaven, and behold, angels were ascending and descending. And if you look back in the original, it doesn't just mean angels. Okay, it can mean Jacob was going up and down. But I haven't got time to go into that. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord. So this was a place of encounter that Jacob had. In verse 16 he says, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? Now he wasn't afraid as in fear. This was a sense of awe of the presence of God. And he says, this is none other than the house of God, which is what Bethel stands for, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob encountered the house of God and the gate of heaven. Now, actually, the reality of that is, when we look at us now, we are now the house of God, and we are the gate of heaven. Because we can engage with an open heaven, because we have a ladder. Jesus, I think, was talking to one of the early disciples and basically saying, actually, I've got an open heaven over my head, with the angels going up and down over me. And he was expounding that. So I want to teach this scripture from John 14, and I want to completely rephrase it to actually mean what it really means. Okay? So it says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. The Father's house is not heaven. The church can be described as the Father's house. Our lives can be described as the Father's house. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you to be a dwelling place. Okay? So Jesus went to the cross to prepare us to be a dwelling place of God. He didn't go into heaven and prepare a nice mansion for us. Okay? He prepared us to be a dwelling place for God. So if I go to prepare you to be a dwelling place, which is what he did, I will come again through resurrection and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now, this has been taught that, okay, this is talking about heaven. Jesus has gone back in heaven and he's building mansions for us all. The reality is, this was Jesus going to the cross to prepare us to be a dwelling of God's presence. He was resurrected and made that available to every one of us. Okay? That's what it's really saying. The key phrase here is where I am. Because where I am is not talking about a physical place. It's talking about a relationship. John 14:10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? This is the key to all spiritual ministry, our whole life, is to realize that we are a dwelling place of God, that God is in us, that Jesus is in us, the Holy Spirit is in us, that we can live in the same place of I am that Jesus did. And this is how Jesus did everything. The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. I just need to be a channel, which is a very New Age word. We need to claim it back, because we're supposed to be a channel for God to do his work through us. That we cooperate with him, we're joint co-heirs with him in that work of restoring creation back to its original purpose. You know, many people say, oh, well, I want to go back to the New Testament church. Why? They messed up. I want to go back to Eden. In fact, I want to go back to Eden before it fell. Because that's where we can go back to restoration, before Adam fell. And it's a great place if you can go back and see it. Okay, so I am is a relationship. And Jesus has created us to be a dwelling place and a habitation of God in relationship. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So they've come to live in us. So if you think of that, the awesomeness of God who created everything is in you, is in me, and he doesn't want to be locked up in us anymore. He wants to flow from us, which is what we need to do. We need to let him loose. But to do that, you have to open those gates to let him out. So you are a house, a dwelling, a habitation of God. Literally, you are an embassy of heaven on earth. You're an ambassador of heaven. You operate under a different authority structure than earth. Because an ambassador of, say, ambassador of the UK in America lives on British soil. We are ambassadors of heaven. We live on heaven's soil, according to heaven's rules, heaven's authority, heaven's kingdom power. Even though we live in this world, we live from heaven, because that's where we're ambassador of. So you are a gateway of heaven to earth, an ambassador of the kingdom. So a house of God is a gateway of heaven to flow to earth. Ooh, that's not quite how it should work. Okay. Every one of us has a destiny, an eternal destiny, and it is to rule. Plan A, and it's never changed. It was always God's intention that we would rule. Genesis 1, 20, 28, God blessed them. The same word, blessed, empowered to succeed and prosper to the highest level of heaven on earth. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it. So it's always God's intention that we would bring heaven to earth. It did overlap at that point in time, and therefore Adam had free access into the earth, the atmosphere of the earth, and the heavens. And he operated in them. Because I went back and asked him. I was really interested to find out what it was like before he fell. So I went and asked Adam in heaven, and he told me. You can do that sort of thing. That's what it's about, engaging with the seven spirits of God, with men in white linen, with the people who've gone before us, so that we can get revelation for today. They're there to equip us to live today. If you don't know what it was like in the past, how are you going to live according to it? If we're going to be restored back to what it was like before Adam fell, we need to know what it's like. And you get it by asking. And you ask and you get revelation. We need to administer the will of God, which is basically what his kingdom is, on earth as it is in heaven. Now every one of us, according to 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You have a kingly and priestly function, which is why you can access the realms of heaven. Priests could touch the holy things of God. And we're all priests. So we have access, and not only do we have access to the things of God, because Jesus has made a way and torn the curtain of the veil, we can access the holiest things of God, which were only for the high priest in those days. But we have a high priest who is now in heaven, who has opened the access to the holiest things of God to us. So we can access those realms. As an ambassador, you're supposed to channel heaven to earth. That is your role. It's all our roles. Our destiny is to rule, but it's through relationship. Intimate relationship with God as his son. And we're all sons, because we're all joint heirs and firstborn of God. The church's destiny is to rule. It is not to be the weak, wishy-washy thing that it is. You know, judgment is coming to the household of God. Make no mistake. It's coming as a sword, and God is going to call people to stand on the right side of the line. Because he's going to say, I'm not judging the house of God. He is going to do it. And he's going to say, this is right and this is wrong. I'm not going to get in that rabbit trail. Isaiah 2:2, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be raised up above all the mountains. All the other authority structures in the world will be under and subservient, because the church will have the answers to all the problems that the world is going to face. Because when the shaking comes to every world system and they have no answers through humanism, they will look to the church to provide the answers. When the health service fails and there are incurable diseases, where are they going to come? To a church that's living in hell. Cities of refuge that God is going to set up all over the earth to bring people into what it's really like. Okay. Okay. Not really my subject, okay, but I'll keep on it. Okay. So therefore we operate under higher kingdom authority and power. The spiritual realm is higher in authority and power than the natural realm. That's why we can change things. Okay. Destiny, your destiny flows through a strong spirit. Destiny is blocked by a dominant soul. So we have to do something about those two things. We have to build our spirit, and we have to die to the flesh, to the soul. The soul needs to be restored and refined back to its original order, which was spirit, soul, body. Adam's spirit was on the outside of his body. Right? Adam had no understanding of himself separated from God until he sinned. So our destiny is to see the glory of God manifested on earth as it is in heaven, as sons of light. Literally, I was going to go into this last night, and I'll just throw it out right now. Our DNA, Adam's DNA, was not like ours now. You know, he had 12 strands of DNA, which were like light strands. And he was a being of light, just like Jesus was when he was transfigured. Okay? When he sinned, his spirit went inside and imploded, and it set up blood that we have now. Adam had no blood. He had light. Now, I ain't going to go into any more of that. If you've got any questions about that, ask me another time. Okay. But the process of transformation that we're in, when we get born again, we get one strand of DNA light back. Okay? And three strands of light are supposed to come to the Father, three strands from the Son, three strands from the Spirit, and we're supposed to have three strands ourselves. Satan had 9 stones on his body, reflecting the 9 strands of the DNA of God. He was supposed to tutor mankind into perfection. Because Adam wasn't perfect. He was sinless, but he wasn't perfect. He still had to be transformed fully into the image of Jesus. So there's a process of transformation going on, which we take part in when we take breaking of bread and we take the bread and the wine to transform our DNA. Because light is a carrier of information, a frequency which actually resequences our DNA. Because our DNA only uses 3% of its capacity, 97% is what's called junk DNA. It is a language which can be resequenced by that sequences of light and the frequency of the sound of God. So when we break bread, it isn't enough just to eat it. And I'm not talking about breaking bread in a Christian communion service, just whenever you eat and whenever you drink, you can be breaking bread with God, taking communion. When you do it, you need to mix the frequency of the faith words that you speak to bring transformation, so that your DNA will be transformed into light. I did go down that rabbit trail a little bit. I'm not going any further. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, the person who is united to the Lord, and this is what happens in this process, when we do this, we become united with the Word. We become one Spirit. When we flow in the Spirit, it's like He's flowing in the Spirit. When He flows in the Spirit, we're flowing in the Spirit. We become one. To do that, we need to build our spirit in that relationship. When we start off, we have no connection with God. So, in a sense, we have body, soul and spirit. There's no connection with God. Our spirit is what gives us life in our body. Hence, when New Age people astral project, they have a silver cord attached to their spirit, because their soul leaves their body, their spirit can't. If you cut the cord, they die. So if anyone projects into your room trying to intimidate you, all you have to do is cut the cord. All you have to do is threaten them with cutting the cord and they'll be gone. But in reality, you see, our spirit is what brings life. Because the soul has no life in itself, it draws from the spirit. And that's where we start. We all have a body, soul and a spirit. Our body enables us to relate to the natural world in which we live. Our soul enables us to relate to ourselves. And the spirit enables us to relate to God. We all start out messed up, divided, separated, spiritually dead. That's how we're born. It says we're born and shaped in iniquity. In the beginning, Adam was spirit, soul and body in perfect harmony and completely joined with God. He had no self-awareness independently of God. When he sinned, is what Satan wanted to get him to do, was to have self-awareness, which is what humanism is, independently of God. You can do it without God, effectively, was what was offered. You don't need God. You can do it because you have the power. You can be like God. So, in this situation, when we get born again, we become that habitation. God's glory is in us. We need revelation of our identity and authority. That is what this picture is about, getting revelation of who we really are. That you are a dwelling place, that you're connected to heaven through God, that you have a flow of abundant life flowing like a river from heaven, from the spiritual realm, through us into the realm around us. That river should flow, but it can't flow independently of our relationship with God. So we need to develop the relationship with God so that it flows through our spirit, soul and body to the world around us. So we manifest God's glory. We live in God's glory. When I went into the heavenly realms, first of all, God spoke to me and said, your life message is to teach people how to live in the manifest presence of God and live out the manifest presence of God. We need to live in the manifest presence of God, the glory of God, all the time, and live out that glory around us. And whatever sphere of influence we have in the kingdom, and we all have different spheres of influence, we will manifest that glory. The kingdom of heaven operating in us, through us, and around us. We are the gateway of heaven to earth. But you have to open those gates to allow it to work. We used these scriptures before. The flow of revelation, resources, authority, light, glory, God's presence, power, flows from the unseen spiritual realm, that dimension, into this physical realm through the gateways of our lives. Now, if I had time to go into the quantum things of that, there is a quantum realm where it all works. There's a really good book called Quantum Glory that I would encourage you to get. It's a really excellent book which explains how the quantum and the spiritual and physical realms work. It's a book I would have liked to have written. When you get a book, you read a book, you think, oh, I should have written that. You know, because I had that revelation direct from God when I went to heaven. I just didn't have time to write the book. But so someone else has written it, which is great. So you can get the revelation of that. Now, most of us, John 14:4, the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water welling up, flowing, bubbling continually within him unto, into, from, for eternal life. This is the amplified version. That's how most of us connect with God, through the flow of the Spirit. But that's only part of our connection. We need to flow with the Son and the Father also. Now, John 7:38, he who believes in me, cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being will flow continuous springs and rivers of living water. Now, we get dribbles and trickles most of the time. When God wants it to be a flow, a torrent, a river of life coming from us. But we have to develop it. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, before all things is an interesting word. You can use before in lots of different ways. I am standing before you now. But some of you are in this room before me this morning. So it also can talk about time. So in a sense, the heavenly realms are always before this realm in time and in authority and power. So the spiritual realm has authority and a higher power than the physical realm. Spiritual laws or principles supersede natural laws and principles. That's why we can do miracles. Because we bring a higher power into this realm from that realm. Healing overrules sickness and disease. Deliverance overrules captivity and bondage. Jesus is our example of heaven ruling on earth. You look at his life and everything he did will be the example of what we're supposed to do, and the doing it the same way as he did. Jesus changed and transformed things. Miracles are where that spiritual realm overwhelms the physical laws of nature. You have authority. Jesus walked on the water. I don't know if anyone's tried it. It isn't a party trick. Jesus walked on the water when he needed to. because he saw the Father doing it. He wouldn't have walked on the water unless the Father was doing something in that with him. He turned water into wine and multiplied food. Again, not party tricks. They were demonstrating his authority and the authority of the spiritual over the natural realm. And it's the things that we can do if we see the Father doing it. And it's really important that Jesus only did it when he saw the Father doing it. It's not for us to be doing it for fun, although it is fun. You know, miracles are great fun because it's heaven coming to earth. Jesus passed through people. Now I asked him how he did that. It's one of the things I asked him, and he told me. I'm not going to tell you, sorry. Literally, he understood how quantum things worked and was able to change his physical being into the quantum realm to pass through things. It's called quantum tunneling. It's a scientific term that physical particles can pass through solid objects. It's like, I know how to do it. Have I actually done it physically myself? Not yet. Although I will, because God told me I will. You know, I just haven't had the purpose and need to do it yet. But there are things and times we will need to do things like that. Jesus disappeared from their natural sight. When they were trying to get hold of him and stone him, he just disappeared. He went into a different realm and his whole body was in phase and out of phase. Jesus controlled the weather. We can control the weather. Most of us don't bother. The other day I was sat on my roof and I was doing some stuff to the roof, and I shouldn't have been doing stuff to the roof, my wife would tell you and Mark will tell you, because I've got no fear of heights, so I do some crazy things on roofs. But I was on the roof and it started to rain. And I thought, my initial thought was, oh, I better go in. Then I thought better of it and says, no, I'm going to stop the rain. So literally, I went into the heavenly realms and I commanded it to stop. And it stopped instantly. Now, part of the problem is we don't think like that often enough. Because we just, well, we're subject to the natural realm. No, we're not. We're higher than the natural realm. Now, we shouldn't just change the weather for the fun of it. There has to be a reason for it. But God can give us the reason for it, and then we have authority to do those things. Jesus healed the sick, cast out demons, raised the dead. It's like all of us are called to raise the dead. Most of us haven't practiced enough yet. Because we actually don't want really people close to us to practice on, do we? You know, but actually, we need to practice. We need to do those things. Jesus made money appear in a fish's mouth. It was a nice coin to pay the taxes. How many of you would like your tax bill paid by a nice roll of money in your cat's mouth or your dog's mouth or wherever? Jesus did it. He did it to show us we can do it. That's the only reason he did it. He could have done it anyway. He could have just pulled it out of his pocket. But in fact, he didn't have a pocket in his thing, but you know what I mean? He could do it anyway, but he chose to do it that way to demonstrate that we can do those things in the realm of the kingdom. How did he do those things? He did them as a man. You need to understand this. He didn't do it as God, because if he did it as God, it'd be really unfair asking us to do it. He did it as a man, anointed by the Holy Spirit in an intimate relationship with his Father. We can do exactly the same things that he did, and greater things, the same way. If you try and do it a different way, then you'll be operating in the power of the soul. We need to do it the same way Jesus did it, anointed with the Holy Spirit, in relationship and flowing from our relationship with God. John 3:13, again, this was quoted earlier. Jesus did it because he is in heaven and on earth at the same time. And that's how he wants us to live. John 6 verse 19. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does. Because they were in complete unity of heart, spirit, mind, everything. That's the intimacy that God wants us to have. So what do we do with this picture? Well, in the natural sense, we learned to see the sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch. We learn everything from the outside in. Everything came from the outside in. So I learned to see, because I learned spatial awareness, the fact that you're standing there in front of me. The reality is, you are an upside down image on the back of the retina in my eye, which my brain interprets as you sitting there. Now how did I learn that? Well, because I learned it from experiencing that all the time. As a child, I learned to see and look out and see distance, because I learned spatial awareness from outside in. Everything else you learn from outside in, but in the spirit you learn from the inside out. But you have to learn in the same way to see from the inside out, to hear from the inside out, to smell from the inside out. How do you smell from the inside out? Well, I don't know how many of you have smelt heavenly fragrances. Okay. Have you smelt a heavenly fragrance when someone else in the room couldn't smell it? Okay, so it wasn't just something that your nose was picking up naturally. You learned to smell from your spirit picking that up. That's what God wants us to do. We can do the same thing through touch. We've learned to touch things. They're hard, they're soft, they're hot, they're cold. We've learned those things outside in. We need to learn to touch things from the inside out, which means the power and the flow of the grace of God in us comes out through us to touch things around us. So our hands vibrate, or they get hot, or they get light. It flows from the inside out. So we need to learn how to do all these things, again, from the realm of the spirit, not just the natural things. I've sort of said most of that stuff. Taste is another thing. You know, I've tasted things in the heavenly realms, and taste does not just have taste. It's difficult to explain it. It has a whole load of other things in the heavenly realms which are associated with taste. And so does light and sound.
Yeah.
And words have emotions and feelings, and it's just a different realm. But we can learn how to engage with it. Now all those memories of what we've learned from the outside in are stored and reused in our heart, in our subconscious mind. They are stored and we use them all the time. Most of the things that we've seen in the spiritual realm are not stored. We've lost them because we didn't anchor them and capture the experience. Just as much as you can see in the physical realm now, you can interpret and see in the spiritual realm. You're designed to see angels and to see the Holy Spirit moving and to see the things that are operating in this room. And so I was preaching about, I can't remember how long ago, it was about 6 or 7 months ago, and God had some fun with me. So I was standing up and out of the corner of my eye I started to see angels, and they were the shining angels, so they were like the glory color clouds. And I could see it in the corner of my eye. And I'm carrying on preaching, speaking, and I could see it. And then it started to come across my vision. At that point, I started to get slightly phased by it. Because it came across the screen and I couldn't see the screen. And I carried on speaking and I don't know what I was saying. Because I was actually involved with what was going on spiritually. And I could start to see with my natural eyes the flow of these angels in the room. And, you know, eventually at one point I thought, am I going to pass out? You know, things were going through my mind. I thought, well, I'm not feeling faint. Because it looked like that. Everything was just swirling in front of me. So I carried on and I sort of asked God afterwards, you know, I said, well, why did you do it then? You know, because he said, well, you better get used to it. Because you've asked to see in the realm of the spirit, you have to get used to seeing in the realm of the spirit. I can't remember the guy's name, it might have been Neville Johnson, where God actually gave for 4 months, opened up the eyes so he could see everything in the realm of the spirit and the natural realm at the same time. And I mean, he saw it all. And freaked him out, I guess, for a while. But he couldn't cope with it in his present form for a while, for long. You know, but we have to get used to seeing those things. Actually looking and seeing the demonic, yeah, people do that. I don't want to look at the demonic. I want to look at the realm of the spirit of the kingdom of God, of what God is doing. So to see the Holy Spirit moving, to see angels, to see in that realm, but you have to learn to relearn. Most children see angels. But when they go to school, they forget an amnesia of all the spiritual experience because it's taught out of them. All the creative side of their life is taught out of them in school. So our education system builds up the left side of the brain. Whereas we speak in tongues in the right side of our brain, we see things and our imagination is on the right side of the brain. So we have to teach our children not to forget what they are already seeing, but to anchor it in their memory. And then to recall those memories and actually operate in the realm of the spirit. You know, it's like one of the things God is going to do. He's going to teach children to teach us. Because they see it already. We mustn't let them lose it. Because all of us were children once, and all of us could see spiritual things. We've forgotten. We can get it back and get it restored. But we have to practice and train our senses. The soul also has senses which have been trained from the outside in, through nature, through our physical DNA, through nurture, our environmental upbringing, and through trauma, which is our experiences of life. They have shaped how we feel and see on the inside. The spirit can also do that. So, that is what God wants. He wants His glory, His presence, flowing out through those spirit gates to touch the soul, to open the soul gates, and to flow out through the body gates to engage the world around us. That is what the light will look like. When we get the ready breath glow of transfiguration, people will see us shining. You know, as Jesus didn't do the transfiguration thing on the mountain again for fun. He was demonstrating what it's like to live in the glory of God and to demonstrate the glory of God. And it's something that we will be able to do if we're willing to allow God to do it. So we tune in to learn God's voice, to see from the inside, hear, feel, to be guided from the inside, to smell and to touch from the inside. Our spiritual senses need to be trained through that relationship. It's all about relationship of intimacy. Everything flows. Because God is all-knowing and He's all-powerful and He's present everywhere. And if He's present everywhere and He's in me, that means I can be present anywhere. I can't be present everywhere, because only God can be present everywhere, but I can be present anywhere that He's present. Anywhere He is, I can be. Think about that. If you need to go somewhere next time, think about, well, if He's there, I can go. Now, people do get translated and trans-relocated, you know, when they need to. You know, most people isn't under their control. Even, I think even Ian Clayton is not totally under his control yet, but it will be, where we can do those things because God is showing us and we operate in those things. But we need a spontaneous flow of revelation knowledge from the inside out. It's like the thoughts of God dance in our mind. When Albert Einstein developed the theory of relativity, he was not at his board writing things on his board in formula. He was lying in a meadow and he described it as the thoughts of God dancing in his mind. Because he knew the value of meditation. And that thoughts came to him that way. It's the same for us. The feelings of God need to move our emotions. The impressions of God need to motivate our wills. Visions and pictures need to form in our imagination so that we get the full flow of what God is trying to do. Now, God wants it to go beyond our soul and right out to the world. What are those spiritual senses? Now, I meditated on this picture and this diagram for months. And I asked God to show me what were each of those gateways. What were they in my life? Now, I can only describe what God said to me about my life. It may be different for you. As you meditate, there may be different things that you're called to do, and there may be different understandings that you'll get, but as you do, God will give you revelation. So the fear of God, you know, is that awesomeness of God. It's just being in the presence of an awesome God. Literally, I shook in the presence of God when I stood before the judgment seat. Now, I believe everyone should stand before the judgment seat and clear off all the wood, hay and stubble before they get to heaven at the end of time. So you can do it now. And it's much better to get all that stuff out of the way. But in the presence of God, there is something of just being awestruck. He's an almighty God, he's a consuming fire. And, when I went face to face with him, I really didn't know if I was going to come back out. That's what I was thinking. Am I going to get out of here? I guess I will, otherwise I wouldn't have been invited in. I have all these sort of thoughts while I'm sort of standing there. Reverence. Honor and respect. See, if reverence flows through our conscience, we will never do anything that will bring disrespect or dishonor to God. Because reverence and the fear of God working on our conscience will protect us from ever doing anything that's wrong. You see, is it possible to be sinless? Well, if you can be sinless for 10 seconds, you can be sinless for 100 seconds, and 1,000 seconds, and 1,000,000 seconds. You just do it in 10 second slots. In relationship with God, with God's Spirit activating that spiritual sense of reverence and fear of God to direct our conscience, to protect us and to direct us. That's how it works. Prayer. Prayer is constant two-way communication. It's most of what we call prayer is one-way lists. God wants to be speaking to us more than we're speaking to Him. He already knows what we need. If we seek first His kingdom, He's already prepared everything for us. But we need a flow of communication. Hope. That hope thing is about dreams and visions and opportunities. It's God showing us His future so that we can do it. That's how Jesus saw the things that the Father was doing. He saw opportunities as future events that He can then operate in. Faith, where we come into our harmony and agreement. It's where miracles and signs and wonders flow from. Where we're in agreement with God and cooperating with Him to be a flow of power. Revelation. Inspiration, light, counsel, wisdom. Now all these have their representation also in the seven spirits of God and how they work with us. Intuition, just knowing things by gut instinct. That saved my life a few times. Where I've had a gut instinct from God, and if I didn't listen to that gut instinct, I would have died. We need to develop these senses because God wants us to use them. There is a heavenly sense that all of us has that's connected to heaven. Now the key to this is worship. Worship is nothing to do with singing songs. I love singing songs, I love praising God, I love being in the presence of God, it's awesome. Worship is to do with obedience. Obedience means when you bow down and say, "You are the King. I surrender my life to you. I am going to obey you. I'm going to submit myself to your kingdom." That's what real worship is. And every one of those senses points to, am I going to obey God? Because I can have faith, hope, revelation, intuition, wonderful things, but if I don't obey God, they're nothing. It means nothing if I don't obey God. Because I can see in the realm of the Spirit, but if I don't actually do what God is telling me to do, what point is it seeing it? When I see it, I'm accountable for delivering it. All those things, the first three are about fellowship and intimacy, the others are about revelation, and it all comes to flow out to the soul gates. Because if it's all locked up in the Spirit cannot access the body but through the soul. That's how it's set up to operate. The soul is in the middle and it blocks it. So, some work on the conscience, some work in the reason center, imagination. Most of the revelatory things operate in the mind or the emotions or the imagination. But they all flow out. Everything comes down to choice. Will I choose to do what I see the Father doing? Will I choose to do what Jesus did? People wear wristbands with, what would Jesus do? It's great wearing a wristband, but when it comes then, will you do what Jesus is doing? Will we choose? Because our mind, our conscious mind, has the choice of free will to say yes or no. And God's given every one of us that power. And whatever we choose either enables God to empower us or we empower the enemy. The devil has no power of his own. The only power he has is through our choice. we choose, and if we choose to turn to the dark side, effectively it gives him authority. If we follow the light, he has no authority. So we have to get our choice lined up with the flow of what God is revealing to us. Most of our gifts and callings will relate to those different gates. Some will have greater gates openings than others, if you like, greater spiritual awareness and sense in those areas. So if you're prophetic, often the hope and the revelation gate are really open and flowing. If you operate in spiritual gifts, it's usually the intuition gate, words of knowledge or words of wisdom. And these often flow together. Healing miracles come through faith gate. Now if you've got a healing ministry, you operate in commands of faith. We all need those other ones open. Fear of God, prayer, for an intimate relationship with God. The question is, will we be worshippers? Will we obey God? Okay, I'll leave it there, okay?